In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Tuesday, August 18th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Reports that Pastor Saeed Abedini was once again subjected to a, quote, aggressive inspection, unquote, by guards in the Iranian prison where he is held, come from the Human Rights Activist News Agency. In a recent letter, Pastor Saeed, the Iranian-American who's been in prison since 2012, told his family that, quote, God is in control of all countries and leadership in the world. He is in control, and he is the one who beautifully writes the history over all governments, unquote. A bomb detonated near a temple in Bangkok, killing 19 and wounding more than 120 others Sunday night. The shrine was a major tourist site, and several foreigners were among the victims. A New Zealand newspaper reports that rock star Jimmy Barnes, vacationing in Thailand, narrowly escaped the bombing, quote, by luck, unquote. He should have said, by God's good providence. Ironically enough, Iran's Fars News Agency released a computer game featuring Iranian missile strikes on Israel just 3 days before the United States signed the nuclear agreement with Iran. Fox News reports that the cell phone app called Missile Strike is part of a larger propaganda campaign. This comes when the nation has just announced plans to launch more live missile drills. The nation of Greece has opened up a passenger ship off the coast of Kos to house 2,500 Syrian immigrants for the time being. Most of them have floated over to Greece from nearby Turkey on small dinghies. Refugee Christians, driven from their homes in Mosul, Iraq, fled to Karakash. Recently, they were forced to flee again to Erbil. The Open Doors Ministry interviewed one Christian woman who said she lost all of her possessions, but she has not lost Jesus Christ. When a foreigner resides among you in your land, do not mistreat him. The foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born. Love them as yourself, for you were foreigners in Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 19:33-34. CNN reminds us that nearly half of Americans live in areas vulnerable to earthquakes, but no mention of the fear of God in the report. The U.S. Geological Survey says the exposure is also double what it was in 2006. And, of course, all Americans will be subjected to the final judgment. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Over 40 pro-life organizations around the country have launched a national day of protest and awareness campaign against Planned Parenthood. Mark Harrington from the pro-life group Created Equal said there are now 280 cities that have scheduled protests this Saturday, August 22nd.
We now have over 280 cities in 47 states. In four countries protesting Planned Parenthood simultaneously. But one thing we want to make clear that this isn't necessarily only about defunding Planned Parenthood, as important as that is. But this is about defeating Planned Parenthood and ending abortion altogether.
To join a pro-life protest against Planned Parenthood or start your own as we intercede for these babies, visit the website protestpp.com. That's protestpp.com. And God is our refuge and fortress when it comes to the plague that destroys at midday, Psalm 91:6. The National Safety Council reports that traffic accidents this year are up by 14%, the deadliest year since 2007. Estimated costs of highway accidents are up 24% from the same period last year. A Fox News poll indicates that GOP stars are falling. The establishment candidates, Jeb Bush, Scott Walker, and Marco Rubio, are losing popular support, while Donald Trump, Ben Carson, and Ted Cruz have taken the lead in the race. Thankfully, God's rivers clean themselves up eventually. 10 days after the toxic spill into Colorado rivers, the state of New Mexico is finally opening access to the Animas River for recreation, irrigation, and municipal water treatment. EPA Chief Gina McCarthy has issued an official apology for the massive toxic release into Colorado rivers.
I am absolutely deeply sorry that this ever happened, but I want to make sure that we react positively and in a way that's credible and we move this forward.
World Magazine reports that some Christian colleges are withdrawing from the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. The dividing issue? Homosexuality. Union University in Jackson, Tennessee, for example, is pulling out because colleges that take a pro-homosexual position are still permitted as members. Oklahoma Wesleyan University is about to leave that fellowship as well. Finally, here's some good news. Africa has achieved an important milestone. Not one case of polio reported since last August. Back in 1985, polio paralyzed more than 350,000 children every year in Africa. There were 312 cases in Nigeria 6 years ago. Now, no more cases. Thank God and heaven for every blessing. And that's the Worldview in 5 minutes on this Tuesday, August 18th in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host with you. Homeschool father of five, raising our kids out here in Eastern Plains, Colorado. Bill Jack, also in studio with us today as we take the Word of God and apply it to every area of life. And persecution is heating up in America. We've talked about that. But let's go to Ireland and England, because that's where persecution might be just a year or two ahead of us. And we've got a couple of stories to talk about here. First, the preacher from Northern Ireland, and also the government EDOs out in Great Britain, out in England. So we're going to take a look at some of these things, persecution heating up there in Ireland and England after about 300 years. It's been a while, 300 years, a long time, in which the Western world has enjoyed a fair amount of freedom. That is, Christian pastors, preachers, evangelists, preachers have not been arrested and thrown into prison for a very long time. It was around the 1600s, 1500s and 1600s, in which a fair number of Christians were persecuted for various reasons. Oftentimes it was just simply because they were not submitting to the state when it came to who was going to be their pastor, or whether or not the pastor would wear robes, or whether it would be candles in the worship service. Those are the sorts of things that seemed to divide the folks in the 1600s and 1700s. It was ultimately a statism that brought about a tremendous amount of persecution at that time. Well, we've got a rising statism now today, largely as a result of humanism, not because of some of these narrow denominational discussions and issues, or the state wanting to control much of the church. It's mainly because the church wants to control every area of life that the state stepped in and said, it's time for us to persecute Christians one more time. Also, homosexuality and pluralism seem to be the religion of the land, and Christianity has been virtually abandoned by almost every single Western government. And humanism is pretty much the religion of the day. And if we do not conform properly to the religion of the day in our churches, there may be more and more persecution descending upon us from local governments, state governments, or national governments. And that's the kind of thing we're seeing in Ireland and England right now. Here's a Northern Ireland preacher who said the wrong thing about Islam. Believe it or not, he criticized Islam. And actually, I thought his words were fairly measured overall. And here's an article, I believe this is from Christian.org out in England, in which an atheist has stepped forward and defended the freedom of speech of this particular preacher, who is now being accused of violating the Communications Act of 2003 in Northern Ireland. And also, remember, my friends, this is Northern Ireland, which is probably more conservative than Southern Ireland. So I doubt if there would be even a single preacher in Southern Ireland that would say anything like this, have the guts to bring down the gods of the nations, all of which are idols. But certainly Northern Ireland still has some measure of Christian faith left there. And this preacher had a lot of guts. In fact, he's got so much courage, he's willing to go to jail over this.
Yeah. Does he fear God? Or does he fear man?
He fears God.
Yes, he does. Yeah. This guy is amazing. He's 78 years old. He's suffering from cancer, diabetes. And he said he'd rather go to prison than withdraw a statement he made last year during a sermon in his North Belfast church, where he called Islam satanic.
Here's the quote. I think this is pretty measured. This is right on. Islam's ideas about God, about humanity, about salvation are vastly different from the teaching of the Holy Scriptures. Sounds good to me.
So far.
So far, so good.
Yep.
Wrong conception of God, wrong conception of man.
Yep.
Wrong conception of the fall of man, wrong conception of salvation. Yes, 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 and yes. That's what's known as different religions, for those of you who have a hard time handling this. Those authorities in Northern Ireland that are waking up to the idea that there may be varying ideas and all ideas are not created equal. That's, of course, a concept that these guys find vastly heretical in their postmodernistic relativistic system.
However, they've said that what he said is wrong. How can they judge him? You know?
It gets worse.
It does.
He says Islam is heathen. Islam is satanic. Islam is a doctrine spawned in hell. And I'd have to agree with that. And here's one of the reasons. I think that Islam is a bit of a better counterfeit than the old pagan religions involving human sacrifice, for example.
Right.
Now, there is a measure of human sacrifice by way of jihad in Islam, yes. Right. But it's cloaked. It's a little more cloaked.
Because you know why it's so palatable? Because you can earn your salvation. Because if you do these five things, these five pillars of the faith, then you get it. You possibly, maybe get into paradise if Allah says so.
And they claim to be working off of Old Testament. Moses is a prophet. New Testament, Jesus was a prophet.
Yeah.
And now Muhammad is the next prophet. So it's a counterfeit.
Yeah.
It's saying, yeah, there was something in that Old Testament, something in that New Testament. Now let's twist it and twist it and twist it some more and create a completely different conception of God, of man, of the fall of man, and redemption. And let's call it Islam.
And we can participate in our salvation.
Sure.
See? And that's what people want to do.
Sure.
We want to participate in our salvation.
As a
buddy of mine says, he said, if you want to participate in your salvation, you're 2,000 years too late.
Yeah. All right. So, but why is this such an offense, friends, to the humanist state? And here's the reason. The reason is that the official state religion is polite pluralism and state worship, which is almost precisely what the official religion in the Roman Empire was.
Yeah.
The state religion, okay, of Northern Ireland and most of our states today, including the United States of America, most of these religions basically state there is no such thing as right and wrong. There's no definitive good and evil. You will be prosecuted if you will say definitively A or definitively not A. You will be prosecuted if you say definitively A or definitively not A or definitively B or definitively not B. Now, those are propositions. If you say anything definitively, ergo, if you say that child abuse is definitively wrong, you will be prosecuted eventually for that.
Right.
Now, if you say that Islam is definitively wrong, you will be prosecuted for it. Why? Because the state religion is this. There is no truth. This is called postmodern relativism. And if you violate the state religion in your church or in the schools or in the universities, you will be prosecuted for it.
Yeah, you're not going to be prosecuted because you believe in Jesus. You understand that? You're prosecuted as an enemy of the state. You can believe whatever you want to, but you just can't say definitively that Jesus is the only way. You can't say definitively, I will not pinch incense in front of the statue of Caesar once a year and declare Caesar as Lord. We are being forced to kowtow to the state. And that's exactly what the courage of McConnell is. Pastor McConnell, here's what he said. I do not hate Muslims, but I denounce Islam as a doctrine, and I make no apologies for that. I will be pleading not guilty when I stand in the dock in August. I am facing up to 6 months in jail and a hefty fine for saying what I believe.
His trial has been scheduled for September 3rd by the district judge Amanda Henderson. September 3rd, so we'll wait for that for Pastor McConnell. Boy, I appreciate this guy's courage. And here's an atheist defending his right to free speech in this article from the UK. Breen said that McConnell did not incite hatred or encourage violence against any Muslim. Defending Pastor McConnell's right to say what he said doesn't mean approving or embracing his sentiments. Isn't that nice of the atheist? Now, it's too bad that we've got to rely on atheists to be the only defense left.
And the atheist will face censorship and persecution for defending a Christian. Isn't that ironic?
I'm sure. Okay, be back in just a moment with more on this story, friends. This is the Generations Radio broadcast.
Persecution against Christians is on the rise in Pakistan, Iran, India, Africa, Canada, Washington, and Iowa. Our religious liberties are hanging in the balance.
There was a report that recently found that Christians are the most persecuted religious minority in the world.
News reports every day indicate the tide is turning right now.
Well, last night, Reverend Franklin Graham was here talking about what he called the growing hostility toward Christians in America, including the Christmas holiday.
We lost religious freedom battles in Indiana and Arkansas this year. Christian businesses have been fined $135,000 for not supporting a homosexual wedding. Christian parents are concerned about parental rights and education and medical choices.
I believe we're going to see persecution in this country. We've already seen many laws that have been passed. That restrict our freedom as Christians. And so I believe it's going to get worse. And we see, no question, gaining influence in Washington.
That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, Friday, November 6th and Saturday, November 7th, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses, we want to register our commitment to liberty. It's time to get educated, get inspired, get connected, get motivated. Get some influence and get ready to impact the 2016 elections. Meet the presidential candidates. Take part in a presidential poll. Support fellow Christians who are taking the brunt of it. This conference is for Christian pastors, parents, teachers, businessmen, employees, and chaplains. Bring your family to the Iowa Event Center on November 6th and 7th for an historic event as we take a stand for liberty. This is a crucial moment in the history of the Western world. Will you play a part in it? Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast talking about Pastor McConnell in Ireland, who made the wrong statement, and he is facing 6 months in jail, trial set for September 3rd. Phil Jack also in studio. I want to capitalize on the atheist comment here. She wants to generously provide him something of freedom of speech, but she said that McConnell did not incite hatred or encourage violence against any Muslim. Now, I don't think we ought to be encouraging violence against any Muslim, but
what
is inciting hatred for a second?
Yeah.
Talk about inciting hatred for a second. Does Matthew 23 incite hatred against Pharisees, do you think? Matthew 23, remember all the woes?
Oh, woe to you.
Generation of vipers, on and on. Jesus went on for quite some time.
Whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones.
Yeah.
Now, you know what that's equivalent to, Kevin?
Mm-hmm.
Either you or I standing up and publicly cursing the Pope or Billy Graham.
Mm-hmm.
That's the equivalent of what Jesus did when he called them those things.
Or even worse, the homosexual systems.
Yeah.
Those systems,
the high priests of homosexuality.
The systems that do everything they can to justify homosexuality as if it's the purest lifestyle there ever was.
Mm-hmm.
Does Matthew 23 incite hatred of Pharisees? And what about Psalm 139? Does that incite hatred towards those who hate God? I hate those who hate you, O God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting.
Or Psalm 11:5, you know, God hates the wicked all day long.
Should we hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans? Think about that. Revelation chapter 2, there Jesus said, you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Jesus, evidently a great hater himself. I don't think people perceive Jesus as a hater. I think you perceive him generally as somebody who loves people. And yes, it's good to love, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but hatred seems to be an important part of the Christian life.
Maybe we should all just sing Taylor Swift's song. The haters are going to hate, hate, hate. Just shake, shake, shake it off. Just shake it off.
Okay.
Come on, Kevin, just shake it off.
She can sing that to Jesus all day long, but Jesus hates, my friends. He says he hates, in Revelation 2, he hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. Well, I want to speak just for a moment in defense of hate. I think you ought to hate rape.
for example. Don't you think?
I think so.
Should we incite hatred towards rape?
I think we ought to hate child abuse.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
I think you should hate child sex slavery and child murder, for example.
Yeah.
Now, of course, what the left does is to only hate those who hate.
Right.
Rape, for example.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Hate is essential, my friends. It's a very important part of the Christian life, but so is love. And that's what Jesus brings out in Revelation chapter 2. He's concerned about the church of Ephesus because they're very good at hating. They hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, but they've lost their first love. And that's very common. It's very common among Christian groups, especially conservative groups. Evangelicals can fall into this trap. They can fall into this trap.
Yeah.
There are those who, you know, they hate abortion, but they have a very, very hard time loving the brothers. They have a very, very hard time loving their enemies, for example.
So what you're saying is that we need to first love God.
Yeah.
And then when we love God, we'll hate sin.
You know, and I think...
Oops, I said the hate word.
I think that's really exactly what the Word of God bears out, is the primary motive is not hate.
Uh-uh.
The primary motive is love.
Right.
And when that's displaced by hate, we're in trouble. And that's what happened with the Church of Ephesus. They were good haters, bad lovers.
Yeah.
So our primary motive has to be to love God and to love our brothers and sisters and to love our neighbor as ourselves.
And if you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth.
Yeah, you would.
You know, if you're running towards a cliff in a fog and you don't know the cliff's there, and I come out of the fog and tackle you and we tumble across the ground, skin your nose off your face, I break your arm, are you going to be upset with me? Yeah.
Probably.
Until you find out what? I kept you from plunging off a 200-foot cliff.
Yeah.
I saved your life.
Yeah.
It's the most loving thing you can do for a person is tell them the truth.
You see that in Jude.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, some of them do it gently, some of them with a little bit more violence, yank them out of the flames, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. So, you know, here you have a very violent, dramatic hating going on. You're hating the flesh in them. You're hating the homosexuality. You're hating the sores on their bodies, and you're not carving happy faces on the sores, which is what our institutions are doing in approving of homosexual marriage.
Right.
And anybody attending a homosexual marriage who's there to carve the happy faces on the sores is doing the wrong thing. You're certainly not hating the garment stained by the flesh, and you're certainly not interested in the salvation of these folks and their ultimate healing.
You know, is it Proverbs 10:12 or 12:10? I'll get those confused. It says, the righteous man has regard for his beast, but the compassion of the wicked is cruelty. Now, I understand the first part. You know, you're supposed to take care of your animals, okay? But the second part always confused me. The compassion of the wicked is cruelty. Even when the wicked want to do something that is compassionate, they end up doing what? Cruel things. And it's just what you said. They carve happy faces on the festering sores of those who are suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, in the name of compassion for unwed mothers, what do we encourage them to do as a society?
Mm-hmm.
Kill their babies.
Yeah.
In the name of compassion for those suffering from AIDS, what do we encourage them to do? Oh, we're going to get the government to find ways to have safer sex.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of compassion for animals, they hate animals.
Mm-hmm.
In the name of compassion for, you can go on and on and on and on. The compassion of the wicked is cruelty. Even when they want to do something compassionate, they end up doing cruel things because they first do not love God. They love self more than God.
The Bible tells us what to hate and what to love. That's why we have to start with the truth of the Word of God. Otherwise, we're going to be loving what we're not to love, and we're going to be hating what we're not to hate. And here's what tends to happen. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Whatever's in the world is lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So what tends to happen is people wind up loving the world and hating their brother. This is very common within the church. So as brothers are sitting side by side with each other over a time, there's a little bit of an irritation that forms, and we begin to hate our brothers instead of loving our brothers. And at the same time, we begin to love the world and the things that are in the world, and we see that happening again and again. What should we love? What should we hate? Love God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hate the world. Love the brother. Love your enemy. And love your neighbor. That's what the Word of God tells us to do. And in this situation, we do love those who are our personal enemies. And yet, at the same time, we need to go after those festering sores, those ideas, those forms of behavior that drag them down to the pit of hell. Okay, so that's really a biblical perspective of love and hate, my friends. And here's one more article that I want to draw from before I'm done. Apparently, there are now in Great Britain what they call EDOs, extremism disruption orders.
What?
This is scary. This is scary stuff. Apparently, there are EDOs. The British government has come up with these things called extremism disruption orders. And a columnist in Great Britain has raised concerns that the government's extremism disruption orders could bring in a new and horrid intolerance of people who oppose same-sex marriage. This is Melanie McDonough's comments that came after Conservative MP Mark Spencer told a constituent that EDOs would apply in situations where a teacher was specifically teaching that gay marriage is wrong. In the letter, Mr. Spencer said that teachers were perfectly entitled to express their views on same-sex marriage, but only in some situations. Now, that doesn't only sound perfectly entitled to me.
Perfectly entitled.
Yeah, not as perfectly entitled as we had hoped.
And entitled by whom? Yes. Entitled. Entitlement. Yes.
If that isn't Orwellian language, I don't know what is.
Doublespeak.
Some of the scariest language I think I've ever read. And this is a Conservative MP, Mark Spencer, who said that apparently if there's any teacher in public schools, or I guess in private schools in England today, they teach that gay marriage is wrong. They're up for an EDO, an extremism disruption order. That sounds 1984-ish as well, doesn't it?
It sure does.
You're going to get the EDO. You get the EDO, my friends, you're in trouble. Extremism alert. Extremism alert. Somebody here has determined that a person marrying his pig is wrong. That's extreme. That's extreme. That's really extreme. Somebody has called bestiality a immoral act.
That's extreme.
In England, somebody's going to get the EDO now.
And what happens if you get issued an EDO? What does that mean?
I don't know. I guess, I don't know. Maybe you get fined. Maybe you go to jail.
Oh, kind of like Pastor McConnell.
Extremism disruption orders. You're going to get one if you say pigs have wings or don't have wings. If you deny that pigs have wings and other beautiful things, you're in trouble in England today. All right. Well, that just shows you how tyranny is advancing in England as well as Ireland right now. The teachers not safe in Ireland, pastors, preachers not safe in Ireland. What does that bode for the United States, do you think, Bill?
What happened to when Patrick went back to Ireland? You know, what happened when he went in and proclaimed truth and grace? He put an end to cannibalism.
Yeah, he drove the snakes out.
Yeah, he drove the snakes of sin out because he put an end to cannibalism. He put an end to slavery. And that's what's happened in America when the gospel's been proclaimed. And yet, what we're seeing happening in Ireland today is right at our doorstep, too, because we are being told that if you say homosexuality is wrong, if you say that sin is sin, then you will be punished. You will be punished not only in the culture, but also by many churches.
Mm-hmm. You come up to somebody in chains and you say, I'm here to set the captives free. And they say, I'm not in chains. I am free.
Right.
I have been defined as free by the gods of the marketplace, by those ideas and those ideologues and those institutions that completely dominate our society today. They call me free. They call what is false true. They call what is evil good. Well, my friends, we still have the obligation to teach the word, to bring the truth, and to set the captives free. These people, bound up in Islam, these people bound up in homosexuality and homosexual marriage, they're not free. They're in bondage.
Now, those chains on their wrists, those aren't cufflinks.
Yeah.
You know, but they want to say, oh, look at my cufflinks. Look at how good they are.
Jesus said in John 8, if the Son will set you free, you will be free indeed. Free from what? Free from sin. What is sin? Sin is the transgression of the law. What is the law? The law of God is presented in the Old and New Testaments. You'll find them in the Ten Commandments. You'll find in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, no homosexual shall inherit the kingdom of God. You'll find it throughout Old and New Testaments. Just preach the word and point out to people they are in bondage to sin. And never mind what the gods of the marketplace tell them. Forget about what the politically correct speak is saying about their state of slavery
And forget about the happy faces being carved into the open pussy sores of homosexuals across America, Ireland, and England. Forget about all that. Just bring the Word of God to bear and get involved in the ministry that Jesus has given to us, and that is to speak the truth in love and to set the captives free.
To bind up those wounds.
And we can do that in the prisons if we need to. And granted, it may happen that most of society will reject us, and finally they'll put us in prison where we'll have some of the best prison ministries that have ever happened anywhere around the world. We need to eventually be ready to hit the highways and byways once we've been rejected amongst all the highfalutin homosexuals and the vast majority of persons that are walking the streets today. If we need to wind up in the highways and byways, if by the providence of God we wind up in prison next to Pastor McDonald, so be it. Praise God, we've got more opportunities to unleash the gospel of Jesus Christ to people who are actually going to hear it and respond to it, and the kingdom of God is only going to grow as a result of it. This persecution, Bill, I'm not afraid of it.
You know, it's like Pastor McConnell. He said, jail has no fear for me. You know, yeah. that is a man of God who fears God more than he fears men. I would aspire to be at 78 a man who has the courage to say that and act upon it. I wonder if I will.
And if I end my ministry in prison, Bill, I'm so okay with that. It's so hard to minister today. It's so hard to preach the gospel where almost nobody listens, almost nobody responds. And if God's going to open up the fields and prisons where we have the highest prison population in the world right here in the United States, and these people are in the highways and byways, and most of them need Jesus Christ, and if Jesus wants to send us pastors into these prisons, so be it. Praise God if I get the opportunity to bring the gospel to those who need it the most.
But in the meantime, you're proclaiming truth and grace to those who are in the prison of sin and the culture.
There you go. And I'm going to continue to do it, and so are you.
Yeah.
All right.
With God's grace.
My friends, if you want to know what happened to our cultures, my book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, ultimately bring the ideas to bear that have been so corrosive and have been so destructive in this post-Christian nation we call America and England and Ireland. These nations have turned against God, and they have followed the ideologies of the prophets of the day, and these prophets are the men like John Dewey, Charles Darwin, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and many others that I treat in my book, Apostate. These are the ideas that ultimately reign, and this is why good men are going to go to prison in the next 20, 30 years. Apostate. The apostasies that have utterly controlled the Western world and turned us into these communist nations, these heathen nations, pagan nations that are persecuting Christians in the Western world. Get my book, Apostate. It's a 2-for-1 going on right now at our website, kevinswanson.com. Get the book, Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, at generationswithvision.com. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio. We invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.